The difference between the inlines and the radios that we had, we could carry 12,000 pounds of high explosive and incendiaries, whereas the Lang was able to carry only 20,000 pounds.
That's quite a difference.
And that is, yeah. But they had much more powerful engines, the Merlins. Merlin powered with one of the engines. And we had we had radio. I even forget the...
I think they were Bristol Hercules.
Bristol jets, right. They were Bristol aircraft engines. And that's what we had. We had the top of the line Mark III's. That's as far as the Halifax is going. And the Halifax, of course, were no match for the Hurlians, the Lancasters, because the Knights flew higher, carried more, were faster. We loved our three Halifaxes.
What were the advantages of the Halifax over the Lancaster, or were there any?
I don't think there were any advantages. Except that we could fly full of holes and sustain a large amount of damage, and so with flak damage and fighter damage and so forth. It would take a real beating and still fly. As the saying went, and I've repeated this before, there's a full of holes, we wouldn't hold soup. And that's a fact. They're just full of holes. But fortunately, nobody was hit or injured.
Did you have any close calls?
Yeah, mainly from close calls from collisions.
Oh.
Because you all navigated your own way.
Mm-hmm.
And we were bombing at night. Mm-hmm. Our trips were pretty well all at night. Until late in the war. But mainly we flew at night, and of course we're subject to all sorts of escapes when we get there. And we... the flight engineer was up in his turret, or his observation point. And he was close enough to see an aircraft fly over us. It was close. So that was close.
That's close.
And of course, nobody saw it coming, or it was just there. But he missed us, and we missed him, and we carried on.
And on you went.
Yeah. And on the east coast of Britain, they had this emergency drone, which was 3 miles wide and three runways wide, and 3 miles long. 3 miles wide and three runways wide. And what happened to us, we had a 1,000-pound hang-up, a cookie hang-up. And we were allowed to, if we could, get rid of it over enemy territory, not occupied enemy territory, like Belgium and Holland. We weren't allowed to dispose of it for our people on our side. So there was a spot out on the North Sea where you could dispose of it. It was an area that they had identified, and people, the shipping avoided it, and it was clear for us to get rid of these cookies for whatever we wanted to do. And we tried frantically to get rid of it over occupied territory, or the German occupied territory. No, the German territory. If you're failing that, you had to skip over the lower countries. And then go to the spot in the North Sea, which is identified as a disposal area. And we couldn't get rid of it there, and the gunner said, there's Messerschmitts out here. Because they knew that the cripples would go there to get rid of their hangers. And they identified them as Messerschmitts out here. So we said, to heck with it, we'll go to the this emergency zoning on the East Coast. We got there, and there was three aircraft burning on the runway. Cripples that couldn't make it any further. So we got a pilot got over them and hit the runway and slowed down. When he reduced speed, he just pulled off in the grass. And we jumped out and ran. We had adrenaline pumping. And I've said this before, but anyway, the pilot said, I was running as hard as I bloody well could, and the tail gunner passed me like I was standing still. and they gave us a meal and we went to bed. And got up in the morning and walked out to where we left the aircraft. And she was still up where he had left it, parked on the grass. And the cookie was laying beside it. The bomb disposal people had removed the cookie.
Defused it.
Yeah, defused it. So that was one hang-up there. But we didn't know what to expect, because the thing had been fused and selected and was ready to go. I remember sitting in the, we all took crash positions. Mm-hmm. The pilot, of course, maintained his position in order to land, but as soon as he could, he pulled off, lost enough speed, pulled off, and then we jumped out. The next morning, we went out, and there was our Hallie sitting in the grass, and the bomb was done. They had removed the bomb, and it was still laying there. And of course, I had no idea how big this thing was. I just knew it was there. I wasn't interested in the armament of the thing, or the bomb load. But I was on that one. So this thing was big enough to blow us to kingdom come.
Now, how many operations did you do? How many trips did you
cover? 32. We had 28 in. That means we had two more to go. But we didn't discuss it with each other. We just didn't. Never even thought of talking about it. Only two more to go. You know, we didn't do that. Didn't even think about it. We knew it had two more to go alone. But all of a sudden they made it five more to go.
Oh, it's a good thing you didn't get excited about it.
Yeah. All of a sudden we got five to go, not two. And that got you thinking a little bit. And we were on our 32nd briefing. We'd already had 31 in. We could have been finished at 30, but under this new regime, we had to do five more. And we had 31 in. We'd done one extra when they came through. Had another briefing and said, anybody that's got 31 or 32 is now screened. And finished. So the paper flew. Pencils flew. And we're finished.
Now, normally, before you went up on a trip, mm-hmm. what sort of preparation did you have?
Well, the winds. First of all, the target and the routes. And the heights and the speed. And where do you form up? You have to all come together eventually or form a bomber stream. And so that was all detailed to us on briefing.
And as a radio operator, could you get any specific instructions?
Yeah, well, I had the bomber command codes issued at that time. And that was ordinarily, when we were just out on a practice flight, we would have the bomber command code plus a year and a day. What it was from this day today, a year and a day hence. But when we were on operations, we had the actual kind of codes of the day. And that was not only the communications metric, but it was also the colors of the day. The colors of the day were varied in the type of colors that there were. Three or four colors, at least, I guess, you can't remember. But when you're on training trips, the colors of the day were a year and a day ago.
Oh, okay. So then these colors of the day were dropped?
No, they were very, very, very pistols.
So very.
They were shot through.
And so the color, what did the colors of the day, like what purpose did they serve?
Well, I identify you, and they, if they want to bring all the people, all the gunners, all the aircraft together, they would shoot off the colors of the day. You reform closer network of aircraft. And and the codes, and the codes of the day were either a year and a day ago for training trips, or they were today's day codes.
And they changed every day.
When you run operations, they were the actual colors and the codes of the day.
And that would have been top secret.
Oh, absolutely. And that was directly from Bomber Command Headquarters.
Okay, I think we should be caught up to where we were before. That's great.